the theme of We're the Church. I love this congregation over here as well. Believing for We're the Church, and it is an understanding for church is not something we attend. It's not a place. It is a people. We are the church. You are the church. We are the family of God, and He has not only given us each other, but He has given us a mission to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And so we stand as the church, and this message that we're going to hear from tonight and the Word of God that I feel is going to impart into us, I pray it stirs your heart to start the walk, to start the journey. And even if you don't have all your ducks in a line, even if you feel like you got a limp, you're still going to start the walk and to see what God does through your life. We're going to read from Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, and then, 7 through 12, and then jump through as well. I hope it's all on the screen because I realized I just mismatched some stuff. All good. The Lord said, Moses is up on a mountain and he is encountering the presence of God and he is hearing the call of God through a burning bush. And the Lord said to him, I have indeed seen the misery of the people, my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down. Remember that. I have come down to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land. Verse 10. So it went from, I have come down to so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. To verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that is, I have sent you. When you have been brought out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Verse 1 of chapter 4, Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. It's funny how when God sees a need, he sends a person. It says that he came down, so he's sending you. As our God, I think you got mixed up. You see the need, you do it. But God sees a need, and he sends a person. He sees the need in our region, and he's placed us in this church. He saw the need of your family, so that's where he puts you. He saw the need in your workplace, so that's where he puts you. He saw a need, so he sends a person. I love this. I've been meditating on in the Beatitudes when Jesus talks about, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will, for theirs is the kingdom, or something like that. Blessed are the peacemakers. To be a peacemaker, you have to insert yourself into something, that which is not peaceful. We have been sent into that which is not peaceful to make it smell and look like the kingdom of heaven. And so he saw a need, he saw conflict, so he sent a peacemaker. He saw a need in your workplace, so he sent you. And so the invitation from the Lord, we the church, is he saw a need, so he sent the church. We are the people, not the place. We are personal and we are the hope of the world. We are carrying something. And in light of this, we can come across the question, one of the questions that you meet as a believer, as a young person in particular, will be, one, who should I date? Who should I marry? All these things. The other one is, what is the will of God for my life? What is the will of God for my life? I love this question. I've asked myself this question. I love this question because it's an inclination that you've met the Spirit of God in such a way that you know you're born for more. It's like, God, there is something more for me. What is the will of God for my life? It's a calling up. It's a calling out. And it's this discontentment with the way things are, and you feel the call and the draw from the Spirit into something else. I want to answer just a little bit about this. The call of God, the will of God for your life is twofold. And it is this. You're like, man, this is simple. I'm making it all about, should I go this career or this career? This job, this region, what? Here it is. You have a call of God on your life to be someone, and you have the call of your life to do something. You're like, that's exactly the point. I want to know what the doing is. No. You don't go through to the doing unless you go to the being first. You got to understand the being. The goal of God on your life is to be someone. When God called you, He met you as you are, but you are not meant to stay as you are. He is not going to leave you as you are. There is a transformation process which we are engaged in. It's called discipleship. It's called following Jesus. I love the fact that God chooses imperfect people to outwork His perfect plan. He chose you and met you as you are, but He's not going to leave you as you are. And here's the promise. Transform people, transform people. Transformed people, transform people. Transform people, transform cities. They transform workplaces. They transform anything and any context they're put into. And thus, when we get to the question of doing, if we know who we are, it's less about doing the right thing and God, where are you sending me? What is the mess you're sending me into? Because I'm a transformed person. It's not about just liking Christ. It's about being Christ-like and carrying the presence and the power of God wherever we go. And so you are called to be someone. So whatever your will is, can you first encounter the living God in such a way? Before Jesus started His ministry, it talks about in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water, and at the moment, heaven was opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and it alighted on Him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is My Son, whom I love. In Him I am well pleased." Notice that it says, "This is My servant. This is how He's going to operate. This is what He's going to do." The message of that God needed to deliver to Jesus before He started His ministry was not how, it was not what, it is who He was in the Lord. You're not working for the Lord, you are working from the Lord. You are not working for acceptance, you are working from acceptance. There is a call to be someone. So you are a being before you're a doing. You are not a human doing. Plot twist. And then you were called to do something. The caveat, I don't know. with this idea of God, what is the will of God for my life? Is my call, my mission. What is God, are you doing for me? Where is the emphasis here? Is it on the my call or is it on God, what is your call and what mission am I a part of? It's not about our call, it's about His call. It's not about our mission, it's about His mission. We are actually called to be one body on one mission. And so it's one mission with personal assignments. One mission with personal assignments. Here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, it won't be on the screen. He comes up, He opens the scroll of Isaiah before the people and He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captive and to recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." What is the will of God for your life? It is to, because the Lord has anointed you to proclaim the good news to the poor, to see people set free, to proclaim freedom of the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and see what God has done. So should I choose accounting or should I choose business management? You are called to proclaim the good news to the poor, to eyes open. It's less about the exact function and are you serving the call of God for your life? Because God is big enough and ugly enough to direct you on the path as you go. You've got to start the walk. Start the walk. So that is the premise as we enter Exodus chapter 3. We hear the call of God for our life. What is the will of God for my life? And you can talk to me more about that later. Unfortunately, we don't have the time. But as we ask this question, as we're confronted with the call, as Moses was in this story, we're also confronted with two questions. Who am I? And how am I supposed to do this? Who am I and how am I supposed to do this? Exodus chapter 3, as we read in verse 11, Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you." Notice, that's not the question Moses asked. Have you ever asked your parent, being, "Hey, what time is dinner?" And they just give you a terribly inaccurate thing. They don't answer anything to do with your question. This is that. This is that. Moses comes to God and says, "Who am I?" And God says, "I will be with you." Who am I? I will be with you. And this is a great question, because Moses has reason to question his qualification for the call of God on his life. He has tried to redeem the people of Egypt before and has failed. And so he's got some history on the board. Who has some history on the board that they're not necessarily proud of? Who has some things that they've done in their life that they're not necessarily proud of? In addition, Moses adds this, "God, I can't speak. I've got a lisp. I'm unqualified." And God's response is, "I will be with you." "God, that's not what I said. I said I have a lisp. I will be with you." The message in this is, it's not who you are, it's who is with you that's important. It doesn't matter whether you feel qualified, it's whether you are obedient and if God is with you. You can be sent into any context, but as long as you're sent by the Spirit of God, you're saying, "If God is with me, I'm all good." Because if God sends, He sends a way. If God is with you, you don't need to have it all together. You can have a history that looks like it disqualifies you, but it's funny how that which seems disqualifying positions you for qualification in the kingdom. So it doesn't matter who you are, it's who is with you that's important. Who is with you? Who is with you? Who is the God that was with you? Who are the friends that are with you? Who are the people that you have surrounded yourself with, and are they carrying you in the call of God of your life? Because Moses goes, "Man, I have a lisp." Thankfully, God is like merciful. He says, "You know what? Your brother's on the way. Your brother's on the way." We all need someone. We all need a brother. We all need a sister to walk with us in what the call of God is for our life. We don't grow, do it alone. We don't grow by ourselves. We grow in community. We grow with one another. So it's not about our abilities or inabilities. It's actually about who our God is. When David stood before Goliath, he stood as the person who was likely to lose. Let's face it. He had a history with the Lord, but he didn't have a history on the battlefield. And he stands before Goliath, and Goliath says, "Man, I'm coming against you. I've been warring since you weren't even born. I've got a spear that's big like a weaver's beam," however big a weaver's beam is, who knows? And what does David say? "You come at me with sword and spear, but I come in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies." It wasn't who he was, it was who's with him that was important. Got to know that God is with you, then who can stand against you? If God is for you, who can stand against you? So it's not about "I can't," it's about who has called me. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 9, the Lord is commanding Joshua to take on the call of God for his life. And he says this in verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." It is, "Have not I commanded you?" It is the God of the living of heaven's armies that has sent you into that mess, who has sent you into your family, who has sent you into your workplace, who has sent you and positioned you in this church. So if God is with you, who can stand against you? It is not who you are, it is who is with you that's important. And then in chapter 4, Moses asks another question. Moses asks, "What if they don't believe me, Lord? And the Lord did not appear to you?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that that is in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. "What is in your hand?" What is in your hand? It was just a staff. It was just a thing. But it was exactly what God needed to use to deliver a people. The The fact is that the ordinary staff was turned into an instrument of deliverance in the hand of an obedient servant. What is that that is in your hand? It is easy to imagine the list of everything we think we should need in our hands. We should need that degree. We should need to be that slightly more charismatic personality. I remember in our school, we wanted a mission trip. And I am not a naturally charismatic person, but there was one of the guys in my grade named John, great guy, still following the Lord, praise the God. And you look at him and he is everything that you think like an effective Christian should be. He was talking to the right people. People would listen to him. And you're like, man, I need to be more charismatic like John. You don't need a certain personality to be an effective follower of Jesus Christ. He's made you exactly who you need to be. If you're quiet, then he needs a quiet person. He might need you to talk to someone, but he needs you. But it's not about disqualifying ourselves with certain lists of what we think God should need. God would definitely need someone more confident. Someone who has less mistakes on the board. He would need someone who's older. He would need someone who's younger than I am. Notice that there's no like, man, I'm the perfect age for God to use me. As I, is it like a week when you're 28? At what point is it perfect? There's no perfect time. The perfect time is when you start and when you heard the call of God on your life. There's no list of what you do or you don't need. What is in your hand right here, right now? Like, man, well, Cam, I don't even have a home that I can open up for a life group. Well, is there a cafe nearby? What is in your hand? Man, I'm not overly charismatic and I can only really connect with one or two people. Well, what is in your hand? What are the one or two people you're connecting with? Man, Cam, I've got so much going on with my family right now. I don't even know how to get outside of my family. Well, what has God put in your hand? He's put family in your hand. So deliver the message of God of what God's doing to your family. What has God got in your hand? Cam, I'm techie. Great. Join the tech team. God, Cam, I don't know how to make coffee. Learn. I love Pastor Carolina's message a few weeks ago, a step ladder changed my life or saved my life. And say, all it is a faithful believer doing what God has put in front of them right here and now. Ordinary people following an extraordinary God that puts something ordinary into extraordinary, mundane into miraculous. What is in your hand? You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You can start today. You don't have to wait for future you, more qualified you, better you, more experienced you, older you, younger you. Today is the day. Love the idea. When's the best time to plant a tree? 10 years ago. When is the second best time to plant a tree? Today. 10 years ago, you're going to get the fruit now. But if you keep waiting for tomorrow, you'll always be wishing it happened 10 years ago. You just got to plant the tree. You just got to start the walk. The best time. What is in your hand? The irony of Moses' complaint is he was actually the most qualified person for the job too. Have you thought about that? You're going to need to know the language. Good thing he was educated in Pharaoh's house. You're going to need the way the hierarchy works. You're going to need the government system. Good thing he was raised in Pharaoh's house and given an education. Man, you're going to need to be able to relate with the people of Israelite. Good thing you're an Israelite. You're going to need to know the geography. Good thing you grew up there. You're going to need to know how to lead people in the desert. Good thing you've been shepherding in the desert for 40 years. It's funny how when our focus is on ourselves, we're blinded to what God has actually given us. But when the focus shifts from God, I'm not enough, to it's not who I am, but who is with me, it's like the pendulum shifts. It's like the focus shifts and we go, well, if God's called me, I've got everything I need. I don't necessarily know everything, but I'll learn. Oh, it turns out I do know how to get water from rocks. Turns out I do know where the desert is. I know how to lead people. Turns out I do know the language to speak. Turns out the mess that you found yourself pulled out of when you met Jesus Christ was the very people that you're now sent to and able to relate to pull them out of their mess. And you're like, man, I'm a poor public speaker. Funnily enough, you might be a public speaker because God uses our weakness to emphasize His strength. When you focus on the King, it doesn't matter where you go because He is with you. What is in your hand? You're like, man, I don't have enough, but you have everything you need with you. You have Him with you. You have people with you. You just got to shift your focus because an ordinary staff turns into an instrument of deliverance in the hand of an obedient servant. So are you feeling ordinary or are you feeling extraordinary? Doesn't matter what's in your hand. You're feeling ready, you're feeling sad, you're feeling good. What's in your hand? Who is with you tonight? So what should you do? You need to start the walk. You need to plant the tree. See, it wasn't proven that God was with Moses until Moses started to move. Peter could have been called to walk on the water, but it was untested until he hopped out of the boat. You got to try and start the walk. You got to start the walk. You got to start the walk. I'm not sure what is in your life, but you got to start the walk. You got to plant the tree. It's the difference between those who have been called and those who have been chosen. In Matthew 22:14, it's not on the thing. The screen, Jesus tells this parable and he ends with this thing. Many are called, but few are chosen. What distinguished the chosen from the called? It was their response to the call of God. They believed enough to start to walk. They believed enough to start to move. Faith is an action word. If you sit on it, it becomes stagnant. You got to start the walk. You got to move it. You got to put it into action. It is a muscle. So you can only see it. I love this idea of, we all have a center of gravity. Like my center of gravity when I'm stationary is somewhere inside of me. It's like our focus. If our focus is our center of gravity and sits within us, then we're going to stay stationary. But if your focus shifts your center of gravity from yourself to someone else, suddenly you're in movement. There's a movement that's provided. There's a natural inclination towards serving. God, I feel so stationary in my life. Focus on someone else. Focus on what God's got on your life and start to walk. What is in your hand? Start there. Start the walk. Because you don't need to have everything in your life in alignment. If in doubt, serve. If in doubt, encourage. If in doubt, help someone else. Because Moses was a shepherd. He was actively doing something. Joshua was just Moses' assistant. Ruth was just working in the field. Joseph was just serving in the prison. David was only a shepherd. Timothy was too young but served Paul. But they all found themselves serving, helping, walking, doing something. Because the principle is it's easier to steer a moving ship than that one that is stationary. You got to be flexing your faith in order to be steered by the Holy Spirit in the right direction. You can't just overthink and overtalk. Who has ever said, man, I'm just overthinking something? I'm not that person. I probably underthink some things. But you just start to walk, and it's funny how your alignment works when you just say yes to what God is doing. So, start to serve, start to encourage, start to help. Trust in who is with you over who you are and just ask the question of what is in your hand. And maybe on the journey of just serving someone else's vision, God is trying to build something in you before He builds something through you. There is a principle of development. Plant the tree, start the walk, trust in the Lord. I'll get the creative team to join me. I always ask myself this question of, God, what if I start doing the wrong thing? What if I start doing the wrong thing? As I said before, God is big enough to put a big fat red stop sign in your face and say, stop, change direction. He'll navigate you. There'll be people in your life that help you navigate. And you're like, man, I don't even know what my gift set is. Start to serve. Start to see what he does through your life. Start to see where your vision takes you. Man, no one's greeting that person over there. I wonder what you should start with. Just say hello to the person. Just make a friend. Make someone feel welcome. Just start to walk. What if it's the wrong thing? Just start to move. He'll steer your ship. And I've started 3 degrees and finished 2. I'm thankful for that first degree. I'm not thankful for the hex step, but I'm thankful for the first degree. Because God had to do something in me, and I needed just to start to serve, start to walk, start to do something. And then in the doing, God did the directing. God did the directing. And you got to get the right people around you. Who is with you? Let's stand to our feet tonight. One mission with personal assignments. What is the will of God for your life? It's not just to attend a church. It's to belong to the church. It's not just to like Christ, but become Christ-like. To actually see transformation in your world, see transformation in your life. Because transformed people transform people. And I love this theme, We the Church. I love celebrating people on Soul Night this week as we got all the team together. Even celebrating Jazz Rang has just stepped out of 10 years of serving in the kids ministry week in, week out, and investing in another generation. It's, man, what is in your hand? Just something. There's people that have invested seeds into other people. Man, I've got some time on a Sunday evening. Man, jump, throw on a host tag, because your greeting someone might be the very thing that they needed to build a home and feel welcome into the house. What is in your hand? What is God doing in your life? We are the church. We are the people. We are being sent people, sent to other people. So let's just pray tonight. Lord, we just honor you. We honor you for all that you've done. All that you've done in our lives, God, that you've called us out from the pit. You've called us for wherever we are and wherever we've come from. And Lord, you've called us into your family. And now as we've entered your family, you've given us a mission. You've given us a commissioning. See the blind eyes open. See the captive set free. See the broken healed. See the kingdom of God come and be established. So Lord, we jump on with the family business. We jump on with your family mission. Send us where you need to send us. I will go, Lord. We will go, Lord. Even if we don't know who we are, where we're going, give us enough faith, Lord, to trust in you, to start to walk, and to believe that it's not who we are, but who is with us that is most important. I pray for those who are lying dormant here tonight, who have waited for the right gift set, not knowing that they've been given everything they need to start the walk tonight. They've been given everything they need to start the mission tonight. Lord, I pray there's a stirring, an awakening. There's something in their hand, Lord. Stir them up, Jesus. Stir them up to their families. Stir them up to their workplaces. Stir them up. We want to see you move in more power. We want to see souls saved, lives transformed, futures altered through the ministry that you've given us, Holy Spirit. So God, if we've been waiting to plant the tree, if we've been wishing we did it 10 years ago, God, I pray tonight is the night. Tonight is the night. We're going to start the walk. We're going to plant the tree. We're going to step out of the boat. We're going to believe you, Jesus, for everything that you say that we are. So Lord, we bless your holy name. Amen. Just in this moment, as we feel the commissioning of the Spirit, maybe you're in this room and you've never actually decided to follow Jesus at all before. Hearing about the commissioning of God, send me. But the commissioning you're hearing is, my son, my daughter, come home. There's a belonging. A life transformation that Jesus calls us into, that Jesus calls us from our mess, our old life, into a new life. He calls us from our sin, our guilt, our shame, and He calls us into a new life of purpose, a new life of fullness, a new life of living in His Holy Spirit. And if you're in this room tonight, maybe you've been a church attendant in the past, a Christian affiliate, but do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? The good news is He's not afraid of whatever. He's not condemning you. Tonight He's inviting you. Come home, my son. Come home, my daughter. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. And to make this decision, to make this next step, it's going to be really simple. I'm going to ask you to do two things. One thing is, in a moment, I'm going to get you to shoot up your hand as we pray. And then two, I would like to invite you for a conversation after. Super simple. I want to believe on Jesus as my Lord and Savior. We're going to pray together after you shoot up your hand, and then we're going to have a conversation. So if every eye is closed tonight, just a moment of privacy and reflection for the people in the room. If you're here and you know that you are feeling the Spirit of God call you tonight, maybe you've said yes to Jesus before, maybe you haven't, but either way, you're feeling Him call you home. It's not about what you've done, it's about what He's done for you. Doesn't matter what's been done to you, what's been done by you, He's calling you home. That's you here tonight. I'm going to count to three, and on the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand so I see your hand. We get to pray together, and then I'll invite you for that conversation. So if that's you here tonight, on the count of three, shoot up your hand. First time, or you're coming home, but you want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. One, two, three. Shoot up your hand. I see your hand. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Thank you, sir. You can put your hand down now. Is there anyone else in the room tonight? Father God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that there's been people added to your home, your family tonight. Father, it doesn't matter what they've done. Lord, you've paid a higher price. You paid for their life. You think them worthy. You love them, Jesus. And your love covers everything in the past. So God, thank you for calling them out of the pit. Thank you for calling them out of the old and into the new. Father, you've given them a purpose, a plan, and a commissioning tonight. Father, let them know and to understand what it is and who you've called them to be. God, give them a passion for your word. Lord, let them have a passion and a ministry of worship to the God, to the Father. And Lord, a passion for the people of God. So Lord, as we join together, we just pray that this is not about a decision today. God, is about a transformation walk for the rest of their lives. Thank you for having vision for them. Thank you for seeing them on the cross and calling them to yourself. So God, we thank you and we praise your name as brothers and sisters. We honor them and honor you tonight. Amen. Amen. Can we give God some praise and honor them tonight?
Hey, thanks for joining us. We're so glad that you were with us today. If you want support for prayer, or maybe you made a decision to follow Jesus, make sure you click the link below and make it a personal connection. Thanks for being with us. We can't wait to see you next time.